your Bibles with me this morning to Luke 22. Luke 22. Hallelujah. You know, this a couple weeks ago, week before last, I had an opportunity to go with my granddaughter to a Christmas tree farm. And the farmer was showing them what takes place and how trees are planted and what takes place in the trees as well as getting the trees. And you know, and in the trees, there's like these cocoons and there's these nests that grow and critters grow inside of these trees. And when you bring your tree down to the shop, after you cut your tree down, they have a shaker. And this shaker shakes all of the junk out of the tree. And, you know, when I thought about that, the Lord reminded me of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 27. And he said, "And this word yet once more signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken as of those things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. Wherefore we receive a kingdom which cannot be moved. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." And what he was saying to me in that, just as that tree and that shaker shook all that junk out of the tree, we go through things in life where even at times our faith is shaken. Amen? But what stays strong is his word. His word will not change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And when I was looking at that and being shaken or being agitated or being stirred as that tree was agitated and was stirred, the Lord led me into Luke 22 for a message this morning. And you know, in Luke 22:3, I just want to build a foundation for where we're going. The Word of God said in verse 3, then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot. And I want you to understand that Satan did not possess Judas. Judas gave in to temptation. The other week we talked about the three ways the adversary comes in: the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. He sold Jesus out for 30 pieces of silver. You know, and you can look in 1 Timothy chapter 6 of what the Word of God says about this in verse number 9. He says, "But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition." Judas was recognized as the son of what? Perdition. "For the love of money is the root of all evil, which some coveted after. They have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." So what the Lord was saying to me, he was saying, here comes Jesus. Here comes Jesus. He's getting ready to go to the cross of Calvary, okay? He's gathered together with his disciples in an upper room. He comes in and he says to his disciples, he says, "Someone in this room is going to betray me." I'm just paraphrasing. And all of a sudden, they looked at one another and said, "Who is it? Who is it?" They started reasoning and discussing, "Is it you? Is it me? Who is it that's going to do this?" And verse number 24 says, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest." Amen. Here is Jesus. Come on now. Here is Jesus with his disciples, with his inner circle. Jesus is telling them about the suffering he's getting ready to do for mankind. He's gathered together in this room. He's talking about one that's going to betray him. And all of a sudden, the disciples have a strife amongst themselves. Which of them are going to be the greatest? All of a sudden, there's a spirit of pride that comes into the room. You know, and then Jesus started teaching about humility. Jesus started teaching about being a servant. That Jesus came to show the example of servanthood to mankind. But then Jesus speaks to the clan leader. You know, there's always a leader of the clan. Jesus speaks to Simon in verse number 31. And the Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee, that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren."
And he said unto him, Lord, I'm ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. He said, not only will you not go to prison, not only will you not die for me, but you're going to even deny that you even know me. Amen? So what I want to speak to you today about is when shaken, rely and roll. You know, when I was looking at that, I was thinking, the old cliches and sayings always come back to me, and Satan has always come to shake, rattle, and to roll you over. To shake your faith, the rattle means to unnerve you, to agitate you, to mess with you, to roll you over. But Jesus has come to give you and I life in the abundance thereof. Amen? You know, so today I want to speak about three things that the Lord showed me in this text. One was Satan's desire. Second is God's desire. And third is our desire. What's our desire? Can we make a declaration together and ask God to bless the preaching and teaching of his word? Say, I believe this is the written word of God. God wrote it to me. I am what God's word says I am. I can have everything God's word says I can have. I can be who God says I can be. Today I will hear God's word and my life will be changed. It'll never be the same. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking to me, your servant. Amen. Father, we're so grateful, Father God, for your word. We're grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish something in every heart and every life of each and every one that's gathered here today. So, Father God, I pray that you speak through me today, Father God. Speak with clarity and understanding, Father God, and may you be glorified and magnified through the preaching and teaching of your word. And when all is said and done, you'll receive the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You know, all of a sudden, Simon Peter, he was the outspoken one. He was like the leader in the class. His mouth was always getting him in trouble. Amen. He was quick to speak. You know, and Jesus said to him, he said, Simon, Simon, Satan desires to have you, to sift you as wheat, to agitate you, to mess you up. Amen. I want you to understand, the adversary will try to mess you up. He'll try to agitate you. He'll try to stir your faith and rock your faith. He'll try to steal what God's is longing to give you and I. And that's how he comes in. All of a sudden, these guys came in, and all of a sudden they were looking at one another, and Jesus had sent them out from time to time, and all of a sudden they're saying, man, who's the greatest amongst us? In other words, what they were trusting in is self. See, Peter was trusting in himself. He wasn't trusting in God. Oh, I can do this. I can do that. Man, I'm a pretty good speaker. I can talk, man. I can talk up a storm. You haven't seen me on the keyboard. Ah, man, I'm awesome. You haven't seen the way I frame a building. Man, I can do it like no one else. You haven't seen the way I do this, or you haven't seen the way I do that. And all you're trusting is in your ability. Peter and the rest of the disciples were trusting in themselves, and they weren't trusting in God. And that's what God said, hey, Peter, Satan wants to have you. Amen? He wants to mess you up. You know, there's someone in the room that's going to die real soon because Satan got in the doorway and he bought into the ploy. You know, Judas went and hung himself, okay? All right, so there was death that was coming because of sin. You know, so he's saying to us is we're going to go through times of trial. We're going to be tested with our flesh, with our eyes, and with the pride of life. That's what happened to these guys. They were bursting with pride. Man, I'm great. You know, they changed the words of the song, how great I am. Amen. And if you and I get a hold of something in our hearts and lives, there ain't nothing we can do without him. Amen. You know, I've tried to do it without him, man, and I make a mess of it. Amen. I can't do it on my strength. But the Bible says, his strength is made perfect in my weakness. Amen. All of a sudden, there's a revelation that needs to come. That's why the Word of God says in Proverbs 29, verse number 23, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. Pride shall bring us low, but honor, submission, humility shall uphold the humble in spirit. In other words, the Lord was going to let him go through some things. Amen? He was going to let him go through some things so he could get a hold of the truth and reality. And the truth is, the adversary, we talked about how the adversary's ploy is, he always comes in, he's a liar. Come on, church. He's a liar. He's always lying. He doesn't know how to tell the truth. When he speaks, it's a lie because he's a liar. You know, the Word of God says in John, the Gospel of John 8, 8:44, Jesus was speaking of those that were trusting themselves and were not accepting the Jewish people and the Pharisees and the Jews that weren't accepting the truth of God's word, the truth of Jesus being his son. And he told him, he said, you are of your father the devil. And the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So every lie, every deception is from Satan. He's the author. He is the author. And that's how he comes in. He comes in through deception. For what? To destroy. To destroy. Peter, after he was converted, because even in our text, Jesus said to Peter, and when converted, because Peter wasn't converted yet, Peter hadn't come to the revelation of his need of God. He was walking with Jesus, but he was still trusting in himself. Jesus said, when converted, strengthen your brother. So he said he had to do that. So Peter writes in 1 Peter chapter 5. I think he writes this, and I believe through the unction of the Holy Spirit, it's inspired by the Holy Ghost. But at the same time, I believe Peter is reflecting on what took place with his encounter with Jesus. The Bible says the Holy Spirit will bring to remembrance those things that Jesus said to him. And all of a sudden, Peter's there. Now Peter's pinning. And he's pinning this, he says in 1 Peter 5:8, he said, be sober, be vigilant. In other words, be aware. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who have called us into eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Amen. And what he was saying now, Peter, by revelation of the Holy Ghost, he is saying, hey guys, you got to be sober. Amen. And in other words, when we're intoxicated, we open the doors to the adversary. Amen. You hear me? Be vigilant. In other words, I've always got to have my eyes open. I got to beware, because I have an adversary that wants to destroy me. But I have the Holy Spirit that's going to help me. I have a Father in heaven that loves me. I have someone that's interceding for me before the throne of God. I have Jesus standing right by the right hand of the Father in heaven, that, you know, standing up for me and standing up for you. And I believe he's saying, he was saying to Peter, you're not seeing it, but I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. You don't see what's coming your way, but I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. You thought you got there, but I'm praying for you that your faith fail not. In other words, the adversary is trying to steal, kill, and destroy. He's trying to steal, kill, destroy your family. your marriages, your relationships, your home, your job, your peace, your joy. He's trying to kill it all. But God came to give you life in the abundance thereof. And you know, if we're vigilant and we're aware of the ploys of the adversary, he doesn't catch us by surprise. Amen? You know, he doesn't catch us by surprise. I don't know about you, but if there's a roaring lion, he says he walks us about like a roaring lion. He's always running his mouth. Hello? You know, he is a lion, but you know who I serve? The Lion of Judah. Amen. I serve the big lion. Amen. I serve the big lion that kicked the little lion's butt. Amen. Amen. Praise God. And that's what he tells us in James chapter 1, verse 12. He said, "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive a crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death." You know, in other words, Judas gave in to the temptation and the lust. He conceived sin, and when sin was finished, it became death. God, Jesus, was interceding. When he was speaking to Peter there, he was speaking, and the voice in which he spoken, he was speaking to all of them. He wasn't just speaking to Peter. If you read it in the context in which it's written, when Jesus says this to Simon, he's speaking to Simon because Simon is the leader, but he's speaking to the whole pack. Because Satan desires to have each and every one of us that is in this room. He desires to sift you and I like wheat. He desires to disturb our faith, to agitate us, to bug us, to steal everything that God has in store for us. You know? So what is God, what is Satan's desire? To kill, steal, and destroy. Amen? Huh? Shake, rattle, and roll us over. You know? But Jesus said, "But I have prayed for you that your faith fail not." See, God's desire is for you and I is when shaken for us to rely. Trust the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. You know what he is saying to us is, hey, you remember and if you're not familiar, in Numbers chapter 22, 23, and 24, we find the account of Balak, and Balak is trying to destroy Israel. And Balak sends for Balaam. Balaam is a diviner, and he wants him to prophesy a curse over Jacob and the children of Israel. And we know that when Balaam's on the way to meet Balak, we find that there was an angel of the Lord that stopped him, and the donkey spake. All right? A donkey spared Balaam's life. And when Balaam got to Balak, he gave Balak instructions to build 7 altars, and we'll sacrifice 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and we'll see what the Lord has to say. And he did this 3 times, and every time Balaam blessed the children of God. I want you to get a hold of something. I want you to get a hold of what God says to you and I as a child of God. He calls you and I blessed. I walk in the blessings of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I've been grafted into the family of God. And as a child of God, I have privileges. Amen. I walk in blessing. I walk in the favor of God. You walk in blessing. You walk in favor of God. The problem, most of the time, we don't have the favor and the blessing because we don't have revelation of who we are and what we're entitled to. My brother said something to me a moment ago when we said, "My God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." And in the Greek, and the voice, it says to demand it. Amen? Amen. You know, when they were walking in authority, you have to understand who we are. We walk in blessing. We walk in the favor of God. You know, I had a minister send me a note the other day, and in this note, he said, "Brother," he said, "when people are talking about you behind your back, God's going to bless you in front of the face." Amen. In other words, we walk in the blessing of God. We walk in the favor of God. You know, in Numbers 23:19, it says, "God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? And hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Behold, I have received commandment to bless, and he hath blessed. I cannot reverse it." Amen. In other words, that's revelation for you and I to get a hold of. No matter what man says, no matter what this world says, we have to have revelation of what God says. God said, "I bless you," and they can't reverse it. Amen. And when somebody calls and puts a curse on you, do not receive it. It's not from God. You're blessed. You walk in the favor of God. Amen. I'm a child of God. We already talked about it a minute ago when we were up here. I'm not walking in my righteousness, I'm walking in his righteousness. Amen. I'm covered with the righteousness of Jesus Christ. When God looks down at me, he doesn't see nothing but his son. Amen. So I'm going to stay in the son in me, because when I get outside of the son, all of a sudden he starts seeing me. That ain't a good place to be. Man, I'm going to stay under the covering. Amen. Amen. And the Lord looks at me and he can't say nothing but son. He looks at you and I and he says, "Oh, the image of my son. The image of my son. Oh, the image." Like a Bible on his head. Amen. Why? Because God is not a man that he should lie. God said it, and won't he do it? Amen? Won't he do it? See, in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul is teaching something. In chapter 10, you know, in 1 Corinthians 10, Paul's talking about when the children of Israel have gone out, they're going in the wilderness, and the people kept on murmuring and complaining. They were murmuring about Moses. They were murmuring about God. And God sent a destroyer and destroyed them. The family of Korah, the earth opened up and swallowed them for what? My Bible says these things in verse 11. "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh standeth take heed lest he fall." And then he says, "There have no temptation taken you, but such is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it." Amen? And in other words, he said, "Well, let us not tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed." In other words, we just got to believe God at his word. Amen? You know, we can't have a bunch of mumbling going on. Hello? You know, the writer of James says in James 4, and you say, "Well, Pastor, you sure speak about this a lot?" Yes, I do, because that's what we're dealing with. That's what we're dealing with in this world. You don't think that you're battling with spiritual darkness? You better wake up. The Bible says we're not wrestling with flesh and blood, but principalities, against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Our battle is not with people. Our battle is with an adversary. Amen? Our battle's with an adversary. We need to recognize, hey, that this is spiritual warfare. You know, I became a spirit being. My spirit came to life through Christ Jesus. And I'm in a spiritual battle. And you're in a spiritual battle. But God wants you to know you're armed and dangerous to the kingdom of darkness. Amen? That the kingdom of darkness has no rights to you. You belong to God. You're a chosen generation. You're a royal priesthood. You're a holy nation. You're a peculiar people. We should show forth the praises of him that called us out of darkness into his marvelous light, who at one time were not a people, but now are the people of God. Hallelujah. I know who I am. I know whom I'm in. I know whom I'm trusted in. He'll do everything he said he'll do. Amen. I mean, he is faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. He's faithful. And sometimes when you go through long storms in life, he gives you this strength each day. When I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil. That doesn't mean I don't go through it from time to time. Amen. But I'm never alone. I've got all the promises of God, and the promises of God are what? Yes and amen. We've got to get that in our hearts. You know, the Bible says when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift a standard against him. So that means he's coming. Amen? He's coming. Amen? He's coming. He's coming. God wants us to get a hold of who we are in him. That God, everything he said is truth. No matter what it was, when it came out of his mouth, it became real. It became true because he can't speak a lie. So no matter what he said here, it became truth as soon as it came out. Amen? So no matter what I'm going through in life, all I have to do is align it with his word. Some things that come in, Lord, is this aligned with your word? I hear this. Is this from you, Lord? The word of God says in James 4:7, he says, submit yourselves therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. Amen. In other words, we got to get our heart right. We got to, the adversary comes in, what does he tell us to do? Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. In other words, you got to submit to his word and to his authority. Resist him. Resist him. Resist him. Resist him. The problem is when he comes in, we don't resist him. We think that we can fight the battle by ourselves, like Peter was thinking in our text today. Peter said, hey, Lord, I'll go to prison with you. I'll die for you. And Jesus says, in a couple moments, you're going to deny that you even know me. Because he was trusting in himself. He said, submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. Draw near to God. Draw nigh. Draw near to God. And he'll draw near to you. Cleanse your hands. He said, repent. And purify your hearts, you double-minded. Because a double-minded man is unstable in how many ways? All of his ways. In other words, God says, do you trust me? You sing that you do. You pray that you do. Our actions will speak louder than our words. You know, hey, we have to believe God in his word. You know, that's why he says in 1 John 4:4, he says, you have overcome them, little children, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? So no matter what the adversary tries to tempt me with, whatever he tries to draw me away with, greater is he, not greater is I, greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Greater is the good that's in me, because God is good all the time, than he that's in the world. The world, what is the things of the world? The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They are not of the Father, but of the world. Amen? So if we're learning this and we're seeing this, hey, he has set it up for us to be victorious, but it always works according to his word. The problem we have so many times As children of God, we give in to the temptation and ask for forgiveness later. And then we walk in self-condemnation. We walk in a place where we don't feel like we're worthy because we messed up. And the truth of the matter is, we never were worthy. It never was our righteousness. It was His righteousness. So the best thing we can do is shake the dust off of our knees and get back up and keep going. Because of what the adversary wants to do, he wants to cast fault to keep you in a place of bondage so you can't move forward. In other words, he wants to grip you and take you. But God, through the Holy Spirit and God's Word, has provided us everything we need to be successful. Amen? Amen. And all he says to you, we just got to get it's in the Word in us. We got to get the Word in us. We got to get the Word in us. That's the only thing Satan understands is God's Word. That's the only thing. I have absolutely no authority over Satan. The God in me has the authority over Satan. You know, we went into a house. Ron and I had an opportunity a couple weeks ago. Matter of fact, she's been off of heroin for 11 days now, praise God. Amen. But we went into a house 11 days ago, a young lady that was addicted to heroin for many, many years and addicted to many other things. And in this house, there was a Wicca altar that was built, and she was beckoning demons, and the whole house was possessed with darkness. Amen. And the Lord came into the young lady's life, delivered her from her heroin addiction, and kicked the devil out. We carried all that stuff out. We carried out bags and bags, thousands and thousands of dollars of things. This was wealthy. There was thousands and thousands of dollars of things that were purchased to worship Satan. I mean, it was great. And by the power of God, not our power, but by His power. Not by our authority, but by His authority. You know, we went in and took authority over the demons of darkness and commanded them to leave. And that house has been in peace. Amen? That house has been in peace. But it's so important to teach and to train to keep the vessel. Because if you don't keep the vessel, the adversary is going to come back with some buddies. The Bible says the second state would be worse than the first. So that's why it's important to follow through. And why I'm saying this is you and I have power in the name of Jesus. You and I have a power in the name of Jesus. We need to take our homes. We got to take things that belong to God. Got to take it through. I tell you to do this. I encourage you to do this. I pray that you ask the Holy Spirit in your house to walk in your house. And the Holy Spirit, show me things that are beckoning demons and darkness into my house. Clean those things out and anoint your house with oil in the name of the Lord and command those things to leave and declare that as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen. Not only is this body the temple of the Holy Spirit, but my house belongs to the Lord too. Everything He's entrusted to me belongs to Him. None of it is mine. It does not belong. That house on the hill doesn't belong to me. It belongs to God. He's just entrusted me with it. And the Bible says the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh away. He might require me to give it. I don't know. Amen? But it belongs to Him. And why I'm saying this? Because if we want to walk in the full victory that God has purchased for you and I, we got to follow the things that God's Word says. Amen? And let me tell you something. Demons. I want to talk about demons just for a moment. Lord, just tell me to say this. Most of the darkness and demons cannot even come unless you beckon them. Or somebody does. I'm talking about in your home. And when the things of darkness come in, there's things that the adversary uses as altars for darkness. And when they get around these altars, demons of darkness is called out of the abyss that come to these guys. And that's why there's so much spiritual darkness in this world right now, because there's so many demons that are beckoned to come. That's why God says the iniquity of the love of many shall wax cold, but they that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved, because iniquity is going to abound. Darkness is abounding. It's getting worse and it's worse and it's worse and it's worse and it's worse. And you've got to have a haven. You've got to have a place that you can rest. God says he gives his beloved rest. And if you can't go into your home and find rest because there's demons and darkness that are coming into your home, God wants us to take authority. Amen? Take authority. You know, if we're going to see people delivered and people to set free, we got to operate under the power and authority of God and according to his word. Amen. Amen. And let me say this. When we went to the house 11 days ago, God had already prepared the heart of the individual. She was ready to get rid of everything. She was trying to hold on to this a little bit. And the devil would try to say, well, this isn't bad. And you would open it up and there were spells. And no, it doesn't belong there, you know. And so the Lord just cleaned house. And that's what the Lord wants to do in our hearts and lives. See, the Holy Spirit comes in, you know, and he didn't come. And we this was gentle. This was love. We didn't come bursting in, banging things, throwing things around. You know, but it's just like the Holy Spirit. When the Holy Spirit comes into your heart and he comes into your life, he comes in as a perfect gentleman. He goes into a room in your life, in your house, in your body, and he says, oh. And he convicts you of it. And you can either accept it or deny it. And if you accept it, you repent, he cleans that room up. Then he moves to another room. You know, I that word of God says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you to go to prepare a place for you, that where I go, that you may be also. You know, I think we're all mansions. There's a lot of rooms in our houses. There's a lot of rooms in our temple. Amen. And when the gentleman goes in, he just gently goes in. He doesn't come in to beat you up. You get enough beaten up in the world. I serve a God that comes in love. He comes in compassion, he shows me something, and I start feeling uneasy, and I release that thing, and then all of a sudden that room gets cleaned up, and all of a sudden he'll go to another room. You know? Hey, I still got rooms in my house. I haven't arrived yet. Amen? Amen? And every time, and then as he gets to the house, it's been through a time, I've been sanctified. Sanctification takes our lifetime. All right, as we go into this, he cleans up. Then he goes back and starts renovating the room again. Because you know what happens? In life, we start picking things back up. We do. We don't intend to, but we do. Amen? But we serve a God that loves us so much. Amen? That ain't going to beat us up. That loves us right where he found us. Just doesn't loves us so much, he doesn't want to leave us there. So, where was I before I start running my mouth? Hallelujah. Praise God. Then thirdly, he said, we looked at Satan's desire is to have them and sift them as wheat. God's desire, that Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. And then he said, then when you're converted, strengthen your brother. Amen? And the third thing is our desire. You know converted comes from the Greek word epistrepho. It's spelled epistrepho, but it's pronounced epistrepho. And epistrepho means to return, to come back. So Peter, after the day of Pentecost is when Peter was truly converted. Then Peter would stand up in Acts chapter 3, verse number 19. And he would say to others, he said, repent ye therefore and be converted, return, come back, that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. He was saying, Peter, hey, Peter, after you're converted, after you come back, after you really return to me, I want you to strengthen the brethren. I want you to strengthen others. I want you to encourage some people. I want you to encourage some men of God. Peter was a walking, preaching man of encouragement. Amen. Peter would come and strengthen and help his brothers. The one guy that his mouth was getting him in trouble, all of a sudden is one of the good encouragers in the Word. Matter of fact, in Romans 14, 19, the Word of God says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace and things wherewith we may edify another. Amen. Let's follow the things that make for peace and let us build each other up. Let's build each other up. How many in the house need someone to build you up? Come on now, be real. You need some building up. Hasn't the adversary been tearing you down? And you know, we and I need to be built up. We need people, we need to be encouraged. Don't we? Hallelujah. You know, when we're going through the storms of life, nobody knows what you're really going through but you and God. But at the same time, as brothers and sisters in Christ, we're to edify one another. We're to build one another up. Matter of fact, in 2 Corinthians 10, verse 8, Paul said this. He said, for though I should boast somewhat more of our authority, which the Lord have given us for your edification and not for your destruction, I should not be ashamed. In other words, he said, rely and roll. In other words, now I'm a holy roller. Hello? I'm not rolling the way I used to roll. I've got to roll building people up. We're not here to tear one another down. There's enough tearing down the world. He said, hey, we're rolling in a different way. Now, this is the way we roll. This is the way we roll. Why do I roll like that? Because I don't know about you, when the roll was called up yonder, I want to be there. A little corny. Hallelujah, but that's okay. Amen. Come on now. How many in the house need to be built up? So we need to encourage one another. We need to build each other up. The Word of God says in Ephesians 4:29, he says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. And what he was saying, hey, don't let evil communication recede out of your mouth. Build one of the other up. You know, whatever we magnify is what gets us. You know, the Bible says, for wherever your treasure is, there your heart is also. You know, and that's what was taking place in our text. You know, they were being self-reliant. They were trusting in him. Amen. And Jesus said, hey, this is what Satan wants to do. He wants to destroy you. He wants to unravel your faith. But God, he wants you. I pray for you that your faith fail not. Because the Bible says, but without faith, is it possible to please God? Amen. So Jesus said, man, I prayed for you. I prayed for your faith, that when you're going through the storms of life, that God, the anchor holds, even though the ship is tattered. Amen? And then, when converted, strengthen others. Build one another up. Amen? Amen. I had an opportunity last week, my brother John, he got the old dancing going on last Sunday. Amen. He had, what is it called? The what step? Two step. That's it. John was up here dancing for like 25, 30 minutes. Amen. Amen. He was dancing. Amen. Amen. He was dancing. Now, let me say this. I assure you that John didn't feel like dancing. I'm sure that John's body didn't feel like dancing, but the Spirit led him to dance. And, you know, sometimes we just got to dance like David danced. Amen? We got to dance in the midst of trial. We got to dance in the midst of tribulation. We just got to give God some praise and glory in the midst of the storm. Amen? Because if we don't give him praise and glory in the midst of the storm, we're going to get our eye on the storm and not on Jesus. Got to keep your eye on him. So in closing today, what is God saying to us? He is saying that, hey, Satan's desire, like he said to Jesus, is to have us and to sift us, to agitate us, to mess us up. God's desire is that our faith does not fail. And he says to you and I, when converted, strengthen your brother. In other words, God desires for you and I, everyone, to help someone else. God didn't call us in this alone. We're an army of God. We're a family of God. We need to learn to help one another out. You know, we need to learn like Aaron and Hur did with Moses, to lift up the arms that are heavy, to minister to the weary and the weak. Amen? Jesus didn't beat Peter up about it. He just said, hey, I prayed for you. And I have a connection with the Father in heaven. And through Jesus, we have a connection to the Father in heaven. He said, I prayed for you that your faith does not fail. And that's my prayer for each and every one in this room, that when we go through temptation, we go through storms of life, and even for the ones that aren't here today, that their faith fail not. That they stay strong, that they convert, that they recognize. Peter had to come to a revelation of the error of his way. Because he couldn't stand up and tell others to repent and be converted till he was converted. See, Peter had to repent and change his mind. Peter had to stop trusting in Peter and trust in Jesus. You know, Peter had to put all of his trust in him. He's the rock. You know, when we talked about that cornerstone this morning, in a building, that cornerstone sets the walls. The walls are even and square from that cornerstone. And once that cornerstone is set, every other wall can be cornered from that one wall. Amen? And the problem is if you don't follow a cornerstone, you can get off, which is a little right here, maybe a whole bunch out here. So we stay to Christ Jesus. Amen? God wants you to know in this season, there is a plan in your life. You can't do anything about yesterday but learn from it. Today is a brand new day. And God's grace is sufficient. When I am weak, through him we are made strong. Let us pray. Father, we're so grateful for your word and grateful that you sent your word here to accomplish what you sent it to the house to do. Father, I thank you for every child of God that's in the room. Father God, I thank you that you called each and every one by name. And I thank you, Father God, that the thoughts and the plans that you have for each and every one of us are for good and not for evil. You give us a hope and an expected end. So, Father, I thank you, Father God, as we have revelation, we have understanding in your word, Father God, that Lord, we can do all things through you. And Lord, when the adversary comes in, or when you allow the winds of adversity to come to shake, the stuff that is supposed to fall off is the things that do not have a foundation. The foundation can't be shaken. Just stuff that's been put on can. So, Father, as that word said, as you were speaking of the old covenant and the new covenant in Hebrews chapter 12, just chapter 12, verse 11. 12, that's a good one. Lord, we just say, Lord, shake our trees. Shake our lives, Father God. If there's anything in our hearts and lives that isn't from you, Father God, may those things fall off of us. Give us revelation and give us understanding. And we'll never cease to give you all glory and all honor and all praise. For we ask these things in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen and amen.